We're going to jump back into our series called Be Brave on fears. And before we do that, or kind of as a part of doing that, I want to present the next Bible challenge. So we have this group, this club called Logos that we started. And the last one was reading the Bible in 4 months. This next challenge is going to be much easier. Okay, so we're going to mix it up a little bit. It's going to be Bible memorization, and we're going to memorize an entire psalm. Okay, but it's a 6-verse psalm. Okay, and some of you have probably already memorized this psalm. It's Psalm 23. And the reason we're going to memorize Psalm 23 is in the context of our series. So we've been talking about different kinds of fears that we face. All kinds of different fears, and they're all entangled, and some of them affect other ones or cause other ones. And hopefully through this series, it's causing you to start thinking about, wow, you know, I know an area of my life where there's a fear that's kind of holding me back from, you know, pushing forward in this critical relationship in my life, or taking a big step in my career, or walking with God into something that he's calling me to or challenging me with, trusting him with something in my life. There's ways that fears are just shutting us down from the life God intended for us to live. One big factor in not just recognizing that, but actually beginning to grow past that and step past that and overcome these fears is remembering. So this morning we're talking about the fear of the unknown. And if you see your bulletin, it says, in the unknown, trust what you know. And oftentimes when we're in a place of fear, one of the biggest problems, when we're in a place of anxiety, one of the biggest problems is we're forgetting what we know to be true. Psalm 23 is an incredible psalm. Sorry, got a raspy voice this morning. Psalm 23 is an incredible psalm that King David wrote, who he came from a life of shepherding. He came from a life out in the fields, out in the wild, watching over these sheep. It depicts God as he had come to know God as this amazing shepherd in the first part of the psalm. In the second part of the psalm, God's this amazing host with hospitality like no one else, and this enveloping protection that we have in him. And it really, if you receive it, if you receive the truth of Psalm 23, it has the potential to erase any root of fear in your life, if you truly receive it. So we're going to work through that over this week and then in the last 3 weeks of this series, taking pieces of that together, okay? You can memorize this if you're doing the Logos challenge in this, and we'll, you know, figure out, maybe we'll do iron-on patches that you can put on your shirt that you got for reading. You know, it's kind of like the adult Awanas here. I'm down with that. So if you want to officially do that, go to your app. So if you haven't, download the Church Center app. Log in, you'll be connected to Adventure Church at that point. You go to groups, join Logos group. If you were in it before, you've been cleared out. You got to rejoin for each new challenge that we have, okay? So join that group so we know who's actually doing this. You can memorize this in any version that's biblical of the Bible, okay? Not the New World Translation, okay? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to say this with the, now, some of you, how many of you have already memorized this, have it memorized? Nice. So, easy patch for your shirt. But you're not going to get it unless you sign up on the app, okay? If you're a kid and you don't have a phone, that's awesome. I'm glad you don't have a phone. Your parents can sign you up on the, if your parents don't have a phone, come talk to me. We'll figure it out. Okay. So this is in the ESV version, so you may have learned it in a different version. So you say the word that you know to be in the blank. Okay, the Lord is my
shepherd.
I shall not
want.
He makes me in green. Okay, he leads me beside still
waters.
Okay, so the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me in. Okay, now look at that. Okay, don't go ahead yet. Don't go ahead yet, okay? Pictures help some people memorize, okay? Like myself. Okay, he makes me lie down in green pastures. This is such a familiar psalm that we have to slow down a little bit and think about what it's saying. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Makes me lie down in green pastures. Okay? And then he leads me beside still waters. Okay. So when was the last time you let God make you lie down in green pastures? Or lead you beside still waters? Okay, you can lead a sheep to water, but you can't. That's right. I know it's horse, but we're sheep. Okay? That's significant. It's significant to the context of what we're learning. And I'm excited to keep going through it because these settings that David's describing that the Lord brings us into actually restore our soul, we're going to learn in Psalm 23. They restore our soul. And that soul restoration is necessary for us to overcome fear and actually live the life that God intended for us to live. So at some level, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ and allowed him, through his payment for your sins, to restore you in relationship with God, at some level, you're living the life that God intended for you, at some level. Different levels represented here. But there's more. There's more. And one of the big things that's holding us up is fear. Oh, ooh. Let's do this one. Okay? The Lord nice. Good. See? You're already, there's six verses, so you're already almost there. All right, let's jump in this morning. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to approach you with an openness of heart. And so if you want to, I just encourage you to open your hands before God. Lord, I come to you with an open posture. I recognize that there's more life. And that's not just for my own benefit. It affects the world around me. It affects the impact that you want to bring to this world. It affects people understanding that you are love and that you love us in so many different ways. But it also affects understanding that you love me. Just overcoming these fears. And so I come to you with an open heart, and I pray that you would reveal where you want to get to, God. I pray that you would reveal that to anyone here this morning who's willing to approach you with openness and approach your word with openness. And so as we do look at your word and we look at the Old Testament, we look at an incredible story there, I pray that your Holy Spirit would give us understanding and would open up more for us to see as far as the life that we can have and the freedom from fear. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool, so the unknown, fear of the unknown. So I brought something here. I brought an animal in a box. And so I can tell you two things about this. It is an animal. And it cannot bite you, okay? So is anyone slightly apprehensive about putting their hand in the box? Raise your hand if you're slightly apprehensive, okay? Because what I want is one of you to come up here. No, Jaden, you don't care. You're not afraid. So who's actually a little bit apprehensive but would be willing to come up here and put their hand in? You don't have to grab it. You just have to feel it, leave it in there. Okay? Who's willing? Are you willing? Okay, you want to come up here? Nice. Okay, so you can't look in there, okay?
Why?
Well, you can't, because it's more fun that way.
Okay,
so all you're going to do is you're going to reach in, you're going to pet it.
Not
what?
A slug.
What?
Slug?
Not a slug.
No, it's not a slug.
Do you want me to cover my eyes?
Sure, okay. That would be awesome. Okay, and then don't grab onto it, though, okay? We don't want to hurt it. Okay, and then just pet it. Okay. Okay. Okay, did you pet it?
Yes.
Okay, let go of it. Okay, what do you think it is?
I don't know.
You don't know? What did it feel like?
Like a mustache or something like that.
Moisture?
No, like, I don't know.
Might have went to the bathroom, I don't know.
It's like, I guess it's a pig? No, small? I don't know.
Big, small? You don't know? Okay.
I don't know.
Okay, that helps. Thank you. Thank you for volunteering. One more volunteer. All right, come on up, Noah. So Yole provided you with so much information about what it was there. You shouldn't even be apprehensive, okay? Just don't squeeze hard on it, because, okay? Just feel in there. What do you think it is?
I don't know, it could be any kind of rodent or something.
Okay.
Furry.
Cool, well I'll bring him out. It's actually an elk. There's an elk in this box, and it can't bite you, okay? So, I'm growing another elk for next year. Don't have to feed it, it's really nice. Okay, so point there is, there's things in our life that are unknown, and we can have some apprehension in that. The middle school is actually doing a fear factor right now competition, and they've made teams, and you can see this team's ahead. This is actually the leaders, if you couldn't tell. They're not, oh.
We're way ahead.
Okay. Well, as of last week, before this, and these are the leaders, I just want to make that clear. But they're doing all kinds of things like eating bugs and different stuff. Well, we're going to do that next week in church. No, just kidding. I think somebody actually lost their lunch at the last middle school, which that's like the peak goal of middle school youth group Tuesday nights. If someone can lose their lunch, it's a good night. Anyways, I think it's cool that they're going after that because it's not just about eating gross stuff. It's all edible products. The person who lost their lunch, I can't explain that, but it's basically saying, yeah, there's things that we're afraid of. We're afraid to try. We don't know what this is going to taste like. I don't know what's going to be in the box. But what did I tell them? I told them it's not going to bite you, and it is an animal. I probably should have said it's a piece of an animal. That might have been even better. Okay. So this morning we're going to look at kind of the unknown, okay? Camp Bighorn is a camp that our middle schoolers, since we're talking about them a little bit, go to each year in Montana. And the whole premise for this adventure camp is to push kids past their fears in controlled environments so they can understand, what do I know? Well, I know if I follow these safety rules, I'm going to make it through this. I know if I work together with the community that's around me and trust God, we're going to be just fine. Even though before the camp, they might have said, there is no way you're ever going to get me to do that. I'm just locked down, not going to experience it. That's just not a place in my life that I can go. So they have this ropes course, and you can kind of tell that it's on like this hill, really steep hill, and then there's trees coming out. So the perspective when you're out on this ropes course is you're super high up. And you are pretty high up. And I would love to tell you a story about how I, as a leader, last summer I went out there, as a leader was able to help all these middle schoolers overcome their fear of heights by just being confident and getting up there and helping them through it. But I was scared to death. And I knew there was a couple of kids in our cabin that were going to need to push through some fears, and this was going to be a good opportunity for them. So I was, you know, went up there ahead of one of them, and they could see my legs shaking when I was going up the ladder, and they could see the fear in my eyes. Later, I was like, yeah, I got up there, you know, so I could encourage you from up above. And they're like, it didn't work, because when I looked up at you, I could see the fear in your eyes. And I'm like, if he's scared out of his wits, I don't want to go up there. And I got up there, and I was frozen and shaking, and I had all the safety gear on, and they were encouraging me to just fall back and sit in your harness, you know, and then you'll relax. And I did not want to do that. I think I finally, without being able to help it, fell back into my harness and was hanging there. And it's not comfortable anyways. But I was able to go, okay, I've been hanging here for a while and I'm still hanging here. I think I can relax. And then I started to enjoy, you know, trying to maneuver all the different obstacles and stuff. And the rope, the zip line at the end was terrifying because you jump off this platform and you just free fall for a while before you like bungee cord and then you go. So that was scary. But it's awesome to see these kids, because we're talking about the fear of the unknown. And a lot of those categories that we face when we're talking about things even like phobias and just fear of heights, all these different kinds of things that we face, some of it's the unknown. It's just what's there, what could happen, and what could happen becomes in our mind what will happen. The worst is going to happen. I'm going to be the guy that the safety equipment fails on. I'm going to be the first guy in thousands of kids who have gone on this ropes course through the years at this camp. I'll be the first one that the safety stuff, because there's all kind of double safeties and all kinds of things that they have to keep you from getting hurt. But that's where your mind goes when you're talking about the unknown. So do you guys have any of those? Do you have any fears that are kind of irrational fears? Anybody here have irrational fears? Spiders. Mice. I have an irrational fear of mice. Why is it irrational? Because you think of how big are the biceps on a mouse? How big are the fangs on a mouse? How big are they? Okay? If there was a mouse in there and you told me to stick my hand in there and I knew it was alive, I wouldn't do it. Because it's an trust what you know in the unknown, okay? I've told you guys my stories, huh? Yes, I'd do it if it was dead. Glad, I'd be glad if it was dead. But I've told you about my van, my old van, and it having mice in it, and sometimes on the way into town, mice would run across the floor, and I'd freak out. I'd pull off the side of the road and open every opening in the van and try to get it out. But it's ridiculous. Like, I'm reacting like there's a cougar in the van. And a mouse is not going to hurt you. In fact, it doesn't want anything to do with you, but I just picture it going up my pant leg or... it just creeps me out, okay? So other people have weird fears and phobias and... No? Well, that's normal, okay? Okay, good point that I wanted to make. Okay, and then I'm going to ask Susan what hers is, because I'm really curious. Knots in your hair. Moths in your hair. Okay, what about a bat? Would that bother you in your hair? Not as much as a moth. Okay, Milt, you make a good point. Fear isn't always bad. Like, I think God gave us the ability to have some fear when we're standing at the edge of a precipice with no guardrail. Some people don't have that click in their brain, and that's very dangerous. So it's good to have some natural fears, but I'm talking about irrational fears, like a mouse is going to kill me. Slugs. That's why you didn't want any slugs in the box. Slugs, they move really fast. You really got to be careful. You know, we used to tell our cousins from Arizona that slugs would glow in the dark at night. So they'd come up, and so they were always looking for slugs at night and couldn't find. Yeah. Okay, so you like jumping spiders, but no other spiders. Okay, so if they touch you, just germs, cooties? Okay. So the point is, trust what you know in the unknown. Anxiety is defined as a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. Okay? Everyone here probably has experienced anxiety of some form. Some of us have a lot of anxiety, extreme anxiety, and it has to do with uncertain outcomes, often. There's all kinds of different, it's so hard to talk about this subject of fear because there's so many different factors too, and I think the enemy has done a great job of entangling everything together. But it's worth trying to untangle some of that. To talk about anxiety a little bit, this is my dog. This is Gracie, my dog Gracie. Doesn't she look so happy? She's so happy because we're out in the Skagit Valley. We were on a camping trip here, and she was just running. There's a dike that she's on. She's just running up and down the dike, barking, confident, courageous, swimming in the river, you know, the Skagit River, and we're like, Gracie, come back. You know, she's getting swept down the current. So happy, but she suffers from extreme anxiety. So if you want to take this courageous, confident, barking border collie and cause her to fear, all you got to do is show her a lamp. And she's afraid of lamps. Because I think one time a lamp fell and bumped her, and now if you just turn the lamp on, if you just go by the lamp, or if that doesn't work, just get a fan out. And she's afraid of fans, doesn't have to even be on, just put it in the room. If that's not working, get the vacuum cleaner out. Don't have to turn the vacuum cleaner on anymore. Okay, household items, or the blinds. Go mess with the blinds. Just open the blinds. And she's slinking around, and it's so sad to watch her go from this to crouch down and ears down and creeping upstairs to go hide in our bathroom, up in our bedroom. And when she was a puppy, she was afraid of pumpkins. She'd bark at them. So it's easy to... It's easy to stand to the side and go, what a ridiculous anxiety she struggles with. I just use this as a silly example of how we can do the same thing. I can do it with mice. Jaden can do it with spiders. So the big point, though, is how much do those things hold us back from the things God's calling us to? There can be ways, you may think, well, you know, how could that translate? But there are things that God's going to call us to where we have to actually overcome our fears. You know, a fear of flying might keep you from going where God's calling you to go. It might keep you from going on a missions trip. Fear of the unknown and what's familiar to you might keep you from making a career change. Or if where you're at and your job seems unstable, it might cause you to leave when you're supposed to stick with it, depending on how God's leading you. Because you're like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if this is going to be here. I got to go make the next thing work. And you can be forced into change. One of the stories we're going to look at this morning, or the story that we're going to look at this morning, is the story of Gideon, part of his story. And what do you think of first, if you know, if familiar with his story, what's something, an attribute of Gideon that you think of first? Comes to mind. Yeah?
Fearful.
Fearful? the fleece, the testing, is God in this or not? Yeah? Anybody else? Story of Gideon. How many people? Yeah. He did what God told him to do. Yes. Well, I want to look at Gideon this morning and his story as it relates to the unknown, because I think it's a good example for us. There's reasons why some of these stories are recorded. Gideon was a judge before the kings, before Israel started having kings. There were judges like Deborah, Samson. Deborah was actually right before Gideon. And then Gideon, and he would raise these judges up, and he would use them as leaders to deliver his people. The Israelites would fall back into sin, and they'd be overcome by other nations. And in Gideon's case, it was the Midianites, and they were overrun by them for like 7 years because of their sin. And finally, God goes to Gideon, who was threshing wheat. He was threshing wheat in a wine press to hide from the Midianites, because no one would be looking in the wine press for somebody threshing wheat, because the Midianites would come in and keep stealing the Israelites' food. And this angel of the Lord comes, and it was the Lord, came to Gideon, said, "Gideon, I'm going to use you to deliver my people Israel." And Gideon immediately responded with, "Why me? I'm like the least of my tribe. Why are you picking me? I can't do this. I don't have what it takes to do this." But God sticks with Gideon, and he's like, "Well, you know, whether you doubt it or not, I'm going to use you." And so I'm going to read the story of Gideon, and then we'll look at a few points in it. So we're going to be reading in Judges chapter 6. "So now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together, and they crossed the Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they went up to meet them." So the Midianites are like all gathered together against Israel. And Gideon calls together his brothers to come together to fight against them. "Then Gideon said to God, 'If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said.' And it was so. When he rose early next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water. Then Gideon said to God, 'Let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please let me test just once more with the fleece. Please let it be dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground let there be dew.' And God did so that night. And it was dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground there was dew." So he switched it, so he's continuing to test. "Then Jerubbaal," that is Gideon, so he received this name Jerubbaal, because he tore down the Asherah pole and the altar of Baal earlier in a story that God called him to do. And so Jerubbaal means "let Baal contend with him." "And all the peoples who were with him," so all the peoples who were with Gideon, "rose early and encamped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of Midian was north of them, by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, 'The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, My own hand has saved me. Now, therefore, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead.' Then 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And any one of whom I say to you, 'This one shall go with you,' shall go with you. And any one of whom I say to you, 'This one shall not go with you,' shall not go." So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, so they fill their hand with water and then lap it with their tongue, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. And let all the others go, every man to his home. So the people took provisions in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men, and the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. So then that night, God said, arise to Gideon, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hand. Okay? Trust what you know. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, which means he was afraid, his servant, to the outposts of the armed men who were in the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance. And their camels were without number. So he's thinking, thanks God for sending me down here to see this army to strengthen me because I'm afraid. As the sand, as many as the sand is on the seashore in abundance. When Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade. And he said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned upside down. How'd you like to be likened to a cake of barley bread? So that the tent lay flat, and his comrade answered, this is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, with a sword like a barley cake, a man of Israel. I think God's having a little bit of fun with Gideon too. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped. And he turned to the camp of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord has given the host of Midian into your hand. So now he's like, I've heard all I needed to hear, the fleeces and the dream. And he divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets into the hands of all of them and empty jars with torches inside the jars. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then blow the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Okay, and so they went and did that, and what happened? What happened to the camp, this sea of Midianites? Yeah, so they went down, and they have, well here, let's walk through a few of these verses. First off, at the beginning, then Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. What's wrong with this statement? If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. He's questioning. So he's saying to God, you said you were going to save us. If you're really going to do that, I'm going to put down these fleeces. And so he does the fleeces, which we read about. Okay, the Lord said to Gideon, the people with you are too many. So now there's 32,000 men, and now God's going through this process of reducing his army. Okay, try to relate this to your own life. I know it's like, but I don't lead a military, and I'm not going to. But there's things that we get hung up on. If you remember Seth's message from a few weeks ago, am I going to fail? It was a fear of failure. Do I have what it takes? What God's concerned about is not as much just our confidence in what we have. He's actually concerned that we understand that he is more than enough for anything that we have to do, that he calls us to in our life, that we have to overcome. He's actually more concerned about getting Gideon to a place where he understands, you aren't enough without me. That's why he reduced him down to 300. He's like, what are you going to do now, Gideon? You're toast unless I show up. I mean, When he reduced them down, okay, and so if you went to a creek in the woods and you were hiking out in the woods and you had to get a drink and you didn't have any cup or anything like that, how would you get a drink? What would you do? Would you get down on your hands and knees and put your mouth in and drink, or would you scoop it up in your hand? Scoop it up. Would you scoop it up and lap it like a dog? No? Okay. So he separated out 300 weird men. No, I'm just kidding. But actually, he got it down to 10,000, and then from the 10,000. So the 22,000 were just, if anyone's afraid, go ahead and go home. So there's 10,000 men who said, I'm not afraid. We believe God's going to deliver us. And then he reduces it to 300. I probably would have knelt down. And that's what I used to do when I was a kid, and we had a creek in our backyard that I always drink out of. So to me, that seems like a dog, but I didn't lap it like with my tongue. So I wouldn't have been in the 300 that went with Gideon. But I think what the Lord's trying to show Gideon, and he's trying to show us, is he's not as concerned as we are about whether we have what it takes. He sometimes even sets up situations so that we have to come to a place of saying, I don't have what it takes, but I have the Lord, and therefore I'm going to be able to accomplish what God's called me to because the Lord is with me. That's why we're memorizing Psalm 23. The Lord is with me. Okay. So, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hand. Period. Go do that, Gideon. But if you are afraid to go down, so he's giving all these opportunities. He's being very gracious to Gideon and understanding you're still afraid. Okay? I've given it to you. You can go down. You can do this. But if you're still afraid. And he goes down and he emboldens him once again. See, I think like Gideon, here's where I think we're like Gideon. We'll seek the Lord. If he's calling us to something that's a little bit scary and we're kind of locked up in some of these different fears we've been talking about, we'll seek the Lord until we have so much confidence that he's with us that we actually don't really need faith anymore. Like, it's a done deal. And then if we can't get there, we just don't do it. I wonder how God would have felt if from the beginning Gideon's like, you're going to give the Midianites into our hands? You're going to free us from this oppression? How do you want me to do it, God? By myself? With a sword? Do you want an army? What do you want me to do? Trumpets? Jars of clay? And torches? Let's go do this. I think that would have blessed God tremendously. I don't blame Gideon. Like I said, I would have drank the water wrong and I wouldn't have been in the 300. And I probably would have been with the 22,000 who are like, I got a wife and kids, I'm scared. I may have been one of the ones who left. But do we do that sometimes in our life? We need so much reassurance from God that we can finally say, without a doubt, there's no question, I don't need to step out in faith. I'm good to go. It's not wrong to want reassurances. It's not wrong to want a confirmation and to ask for confirmations. But what I have seen is people won't step out into what God's calling them to for years because they can't get the confirmations they need when they actually do have confirmation to step out. They have what they need. Okay, and so then it's just kind of cool how he did it with the jars. Do you understand? I always thought it was glass jars, like clear jars with torches in it, like mason jars. They probably even picture like mason on the side of it. And it just occurred to me more recently than I want to admit that they weren't clear jars because I was like, why is that? Like, is it just the sound? Because they could have seen the fire in the jar, but, they're clay jars. They can't see. They sneak in there in the dark. They break the jars. There's all that noise, and all of a sudden there's torches everywhere upon them. And it just freaks out the Midianite camp. And then they blow these trumpets, which was a shofar, might have looked something like that, but basically it was an animal horn. So you're picturing like the brass trumpets, you know, with the valves and everything. It's not. It was these horns, this real shrill noise. And so here they are with their torches all of a sudden in view and blowing these horns. And the fear of the unknown overtook the Midianites. There were 300 men there. They had 100,000. 100,000 soldiers against 300. And they just freaked out. They started running in fear. They couldn't tell what was going on. The Lord says, if you keep reading, actually turn them against each other in confusion. And so they were actually killing each other and attacking each other, and they ran. And then Gideon rallied his armies from there as they chased them. So 300 men take off with them. It doesn't say they didn't have swords, too. It's not. I don't know that they just were beating these guys over the head with the horns. They probably had their swords with them, too. But anyways, they chased them down, and they rallied their armies, and they routed and overtook 100,000. It's a pretty amazing story. Okay, and that's the end. I just talked about that. So this morning, I think what we want to take away from Gideon and his story, catch up on my notes here. What we want to take away from Gideon's story is God calling you to step into something in your life. How many fleeces are you going to put out there? How many ways are you going to ask God to convince you that there's no unknown, that there's no element of faith required? I just want to be for sure, for sure, for sure, for sure before I step into that, before I go there, before I do that thing that you've been putting on my heart for a long time. What fears are getting in your way of taking that step? Okay, again, it's not wrong to want confirmation. It's not wrong to want to be sure. It's not wrong to invite others who have a relationship with God to pray with you and get that confirmation. Even with confirmation, though, there's going to be some unknowns. The fear that we're going to go into more specifically that's related to the unknown is the fear of instability. Will I be provided for in the future? That's what we're going to go after next week, and we're going to have somebody from our fellowship who has stepped out in major ways in that area, their family, and they have to face that. That's one of the big fears that you have to face. If I step out in this mission, in this thing that God's calling me to, is God going to provide? And that's where the trust in the unknown, trust what you know, is super critical. So right now in what you're facing or you feel stuck in, are you trusting what you know? So what is true? Thinking about that. What is true about the mouse? Okay. He's not big enough to take me down. He's not. Most of the spiders around here are pretty harmless. You can catch the spider and put it outside like my dad does. Or you can smash it. My dad likes to catch them and release them outside so they can keep the insects under control. But maybe it's a health issue. There's a lump on your arm. There's a nagging cough you've had forever. And you're just afraid of what it might be. And so what do? You avoid getting it looked at. You avoid checking it out. You don't want to know, but it grips you with fear and anxiety all the time. Trust what you know in the unknown. Is God going to be with you no matter what that thing is? Is he going to be with you? Is there a larger story going on? Or are you just stuck in that? And you're forgetting everything about the attributes of God and his character and that fear. Worship team, you guys can come up. This is a cool psalm. Psalm 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Translated, when the earth is world is literally falling apart all around you, God is present. He's there with you. He's enough. And so this psalmist is suggesting, even when the world is falling apart around you, you don't need to fear. That's huge. These are truths that we have to actually take hold of. They're not just cool things to, you know, write on the wall and frame. They're truths about God. So I want to end with this, and then I want to pray. But this is our memory verse again. Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. So, Lord, we just declare that that is true. God, we pray right now that you would reveal to us areas it's hard to decipher. And maybe we need to reach out to somebody to process that with. Are we stuck because we're just needing more confirmations than we really need? Or are we stuck because we really can't discern? And that's okay too. But God, I know that this is the body of Christ, and I know that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I know that there are amazing things that we can accomplish if we are walking in faith and remembering the truth. Gideon's army was only 300, but because you were in it, they did amazing things. And so you can do amazing things through this church and through us. So God, I just pray that you would be revealing to us, Lord. Be revealing to us, even right now, in this last song, in this space, to each individual here, what fear are we stuck on? And if there's a fear of the unknown, what's unknown, Lord? How would you be calling us to step into that, Lord? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.